Welcome to The Edges of Lean. I'm Bella Engelbach, and in this podcast, we explore the human and creative side of lean thinking, unusual places where lean thinking is practiced. We meet people who are practicing continuous improvement in many different flavors and styles. So come along with me on a journey to the edges of lean. Episode 10, Continuous Improvement, Dentistry, and Piercing. I can only imagine what you're thinking. What on earth did dentistry and piercing have to do with each other? Never mind to do with lean or continuous improvement. But when I think about it, there are a lot of parallels between a dentist's office and a piercing parlor. Each is usually a small business. Each has important health and sanitation requirements, and each, frankly, carries an element of fear, or at least concern, for some customers. And yet, there's an opportunity to turn that fearful expectation around and create one that results in delighted customers and patients and drives continuous improvement. My guests today are Stephanie Hill and Karen Ross. Stephanie Hill and Karen Ross, welcome to The Edges of Lean.
Thanks, Bella. Thanks for having us. I love the name and the theme of your podcast, Edges of Lean. I think that's just such a great take on it.
Oh, thanks. So we're here today. We're talking about a couple of unusual places, as we like to do on The Edges of Lean. We're talking about a couple of unusual places where you two have been practicing lean. And Karen, actually, welcome back to The Edges of Lean. This is your second time here. Thanks for coming back. And we're going to talk about using lean in piercing. And Stephanie, you're going to have to talk to us a little bit about what that actually means. And Karen, in holistic dentistry. And I don't even know what holistic dentistry really is. So I think there's some really interesting lean stories there. So Stephanie, could you start just by telling us about the piercing business and what it's about?
Stephanie Hill is the owner of Lightbulb Moment Consulting in Des Moines, Iowa. She leverages 20 years of continuous improvement experience by helping small businesses and nonprofits improve their effectiveness and efficiency, including a piercing parlor.
Yeah, so I think that business in general has really been transforming over the years. So originally, it had a pretty negative reputation, at least in the United States. There was a certain group of people who were getting pierced, and, you know, it was just sort of this like dirty kind of a concept, I think, if some people perceived it that way. It's definitely evolved. So I'm a member of the Association of Professional Piercers, and annually, you know, we have a conference where like over 1,000 people attend from all over the world to get continuing education for a week. So they're very serious about it. It's a very, growing profession, I would say. And it's become a lot more highly regarded.
And when you're talking about piercing, is that something that's usually done in conjunction with tattooing, or do people do that really separately?
Some people cross over. I think most of the people that I interact with are strictly working on piercing. I think to be very good at it, you have to devote a lot of your time and education toward it. And there's a lot of differences between the two. So the people that I typically work with don't tend to do both. You'll see the storefronts often be similar. So there might be tattoo artists and piercers in the same storefront because, you know, people who are doing any kind of body modification may choose to visit for either or both.
So, but it's not something that I certainly would think of as being a place where you might go and do a lean deployment. So you have an interesting story to tell.
Great. Yep.
And Karen, so tell us a little bit about holistic dentistry, because I have heard of dentists using lean practices, but I don't even, like I said, I don't even know exactly what holistic dentistry is.
Karen Ross is a founding mother of Women in Lean, Our Table. She's the founder and president of the Love and Kindness Project Foundation, and she owns Karen Ross Consulting. Karen is working on helping people improve the world and creating a world of love and kindness before money.
Well, holistic dentistry actually is a wonderful field that looks at dentistry as a whole body practice. And it makes total sense because think about it, all of the nutrition and all of the things that we take in through our mouth and our nutrition and our health really starts with that. So holistic dentistry doesn't just treat your teeth, but it really looks at how to improve your all over health by treating your teeth and looking for signs of illness in other parts of the body as well. So it's been super interesting to learn about. I have to say it's changed the way I think about my own dental health as well. So it's probably driving my own dentist crazy. And it's super wonderful to be involved, first of all, you know, helping people and helping them get better dental care and helping them have better health for their body. And just as a tie-in to the piercing and tattooing, I have quite a few tattoos. I don't have any piercings, but my lovely daughter does. And so I've been with her quite often while she's been having piercing. It's very interesting. Lean fits in all of these different areas.
Oh yeah, it fits everywhere. It's funny because so I used to teach a program called Continuous Improvement Ambassadors or CIA. And whenever we would talk about, I'm trying to think of what the section was, but we talked about the body and the system of the body. And so if you're talking about, it was kind of like root cause in looking at root cause analysis. And so we would say, you know, if you have a headache, you don't treat the head necessarily. You might treat the shoulders, or you might treat, you know, whatever the nerves or the stress in the person's life. And so we always talked about the whole system when we looked at root cause analysis. So I like the concept of holistic dentistry is looking at the system of the body.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, if you read Taiichi Ono's writings and a lot of the older Toyota writings, they also reference a lot about the system as your body. So I think the two really go hand in hand or tooth in tooth or whatever. We want to talk about that.
It all goes together.
So Stephanie, how did you get involved in doing lean work with somebody who was doing piercing?
Oh gosh. So I met Rob, and actually we started dating in 2011. I actually had my master's in public health, and so that was our first work together. He was looking to get body piercing regulations in Iowa, and I was shocked that there weren't body piercing regulations in Iowa.
No, there
still really aren't. So there's tattoo regulations, but there's not piercing regulations. So we actually worked with a number of businesses in Iowa and some outside of Iowa. I believe there were about 20 different shops that signed a petition and worked with us on that. So I was getting exposure to how a lot of local businesses practice their body piercing. And so essentially, to back up a little bit, Rob had been very very well respected and well known in his field. And he really made his living by traveling to different shops and being a guest artist at their shops. When I met him, he was in Des Moines, working out of the back of a tattoo shop, temporarily, he said. And then as we got more serious, he decided that that wasn't going to be a temporary thing anymore. He wanted to put down some roots. So, he was piercing out of this shop, and the clientele was really there for the tattoo artists there. And if they wanted to get pierced, it was sort of an aside. And so when they would go to Rob, you know, who was this sort of one of the experts, I think, in this field. He's wanting to use, you know, implant grade titanium or gold or diamond, you know, all of these things that they just were not used to. And so that he really had very few clients, or clients that he did have didn't want to, you know, pay that price. So that was just a good time to reinvent himself locally, I would say, and look at how we could adapt his environment and the way he was working and the way he was being perceived. And he just asked for my help to, it really just incorporated a lot of lean into doing that.
This is really a story about a business transformation. It's not just about, it's not just about a lean deployment where you decided where to keep the instruments and things like that.
Yep, exactly.
And Karen, how did you get involved with your holistic dentistry client?
Okay, and it's super interesting because we have a story tie-in, because think about dentistry where you would use implant grade and all of those kind of things, because whatever you're putting in is really going into your body and interacting with your body. So one day I got a call from a potential new client, Michelle Jorgensen, and she is the owner of Total Care Dental in Pleasant Grove, Utah. And she said, I just read this great book, Toyota Way to Service Excellence. I'm always looking to actually improve the way we work. We have a growing practice. Our purpose is to help more people. And she said, and I just read this fabulous book, and I thought, I really want to do this in my practice. And so she looked up on the internet and she found me, and she realized then, of course, when she called me, that she was talking to the person who was the co-author of the book. And Michelle has a super interesting story, because the reason that she became interested in holistic dentistry is she had a lot of health issues that came from the mercury fillings that she had. And in having all those mercury fillings removed and learning how to do that safely, it really led her to this journey of how to help other people. And as she learned more, she realized she wanted to be able to serve more people in her practice and help more people and grow in different kinds of ways. And she really felt that using Toyota Way and Lean and having coaching on an ongoing basis would be a great way to do that.
I'm curious. It's
not just about process. It's about how you look at the whole business then. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and about how you fulfill your purpose through your business. Because as well, since we've been working together, as well as her dental care office, which actually has probably tripled in size. She bought a second building, all different kinds of things. She also created a Total Care Academy to teach other dentists how to practice in this way. And she also created a separate business that's attached called Living Well with Dr. Michelle, so she can really teach people how to use all of the things, even if they don't come to the dentist, because maybe you're not going to go to the dentist. So it really is fulfilling her purpose through doing this kind of work.
I'm so curious what prompted her to pick up that book in the first place. You know, did somebody just tell her about it? Or?
No. She is always looking for different kind of better ways. And she'd heard, I think she heard a podcast that Lean was a good, you know, way to work that would fit in with this idea of health and doing things in a healthy way. And so she just read it and called me up.
Very cool.
So Stephanie, how did you get started with Rob then, and looking at his business in a different way?
Yeah, and as Karen was talking about the holistic dentist, I realized I didn't talk to you about Rob himself. So yes, Rob Hill. So he's with Prism Body Piercing in Des Moines, Iowa. And so, yeah, the first thing we did, one of my friends that I worked with, she actually got pierced by Rob in the state that he was in. So, you know, and in the back of the tattoo shop and all that. And she said that The experience was great. The output was great. She really liked Rob, yet she felt like she was being pierced in like a teenager's basement. It didn't really give off this vibe, you know, that he was, you know, in this great expert type environment. And so that was sort of our launching point for what we were going to look at. So the first thing we did was to just, you know, start simply. Like, we just had these little half sheets of paper that we handed out to everybody who walked in the door. And we asked them what kind of factors were important to them when they're looking at getting a body piercing. And first I had Rob do that as well, because I was curious about if the alignment of what he values versus what his potential clients who walk through the door value. And as you might expect, there was a really big mismatch, right? So he was really concerned about the artistry, the safety, the sterility of the materials, and the materials that he was using, and his experiences, all of these things that he'd worked on for the past 20 years. And the person who was walking through the door was interested in price. Is it a low price? You know, does it have pineapples or anchors or whatever on it? You know, they were just kind of interested in those types of things. So that was our first signal that we had to either change the clientele or change how the clientele perceives the value of what they want to get. So that was where we started.
That's a big decision, right? Mm-hmm. Especially to think, well, maybe I need to go find some totally different clients.
Yep, for sure. So we were able to do a remodel, and so we split. We still have the same storefront. So again, you know, we wanted to keep having the tattoo side with the piercing side, and the tattoo shop actually joined us with doing some renovations. So so it all, you know, got a facelift, I would say. But we really started looking at the staffing, the design of the studio, all of that. And so in doing that, I think we used a number of lean tools as well.
So you can tell us about that in a minute, but I want to hear from Karen about how you started with Michelle.
Well, it's so interesting that Stephanie was talking about the differences between what customers wanted and what, you know, Rob thought that they wanted, because when I started working with Michelle's office already had won many, many awards for service excellence. So she was not starting from the ground up, and she already had a large clientele. So when I went to go and see, and we talked about the kind of problems that they were having, was because her office was already super popular because people knew they were going to get this wonderful service. She had a problem of a lot of clients, but then what happens when you go to the dentist and you sit in the beautiful waiting room? Does anybody want to wait? Mm-mm. No, it doesn't matter how beautiful it is. It doesn't, and they have like this like cute little place where children can go in and watch a video. And so the challenge really was, in a growing practice, how do you make sure that people are seen in the amount of time that they're seen? How can you actually even elevate your service to people when you have award-winning service? Mm-hmm. So one of the first things we started to work on is to set a target that everybody who came into the waiting room would be seated in their chair, in the proper chair, mm-hmm. where they were supposed to be for their procedure or whatever it was, within 5 minutes. And then also we found from customers, what they really didn't want is they didn't want to be left alone. So just think about it. Maybe you've had this experience at the dentist yourself. They put you in the chair and then you're kind of like waiting there and you're looking around and like, where's the hygienist? Where's the dentist? All of that. So then the second target really became about, well, how do we make sure that somebody has someone with them in the room at all times? Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting. We set those targets. And then what's the second thing we always want to do is find out the actual. And we had a really fabulous, fun time teaching the people who did the work there how to go and see. And they have such a good turnover. When you think about it, dental exams don't necessarily last that long, right? That we could see actual measure, try something different, like look and say, oh, well, why did that happen? Why was that patient sitting there? We could understand that, of course, again, whatever we did at the beginning of the day was going to have a huge effect on time and waiting at the end of the day. And we could try out multiple things throughout the day. It was really, really, really a wonderful, it's a wonderful environment to work in, and a lot of positive, enthusiastic people wanting to learn how to make things better for customers.
Yeah, so many people are afraid to go to the dentist. So I imagine that period of waiting, if you're getting nervous, you know, just makes it worse. So I can see that as being a big target.
And think about too, if you're afraid to go to the dentist, you don't want to be alone, right? You want that right. kind of person mm-hmm. sitting beside you and chatting with you and taking your mind off the worry that you might be having, all of those things.
Yes, definitely.
With piercing then also, I'm sure particularly for someone who hasn't had a piercing before, there's that anticipation, mm-hmm. Stephanie.
Definitely.
So what did you do? What are some of the things that you did, Stephanie, with Rob to change the experience for the customers?
So of course, you know, Karen was talking about go and see, and I think that's a pretty standard thing that we like to do with Lean. Yeah. So I was doing time studies galore, just following him around and timing every little piece and kind of chunking out all the activities that was happening. Surprisingly, the piercing itself took 30 seconds. So it was about a 25 and a half minute period of time from the minute a client walked in to the time that they were leaving. And of that time, it was a 30 second piercing. So we were looking more, one thing we were looking at was more his health and well-being. And I think that was probably from my standpoint of having a relationship with him. He was working, you know, 6 days a week, 11 hours a day. And just, you know, a lot of that time was idle, not doing anything, but just being physically present. And so I was trying to help him think about how he could break up the work and maybe incorporate, you know, a counter person to help him out. And initially he thought that he couldn't afford to have somebody working for him. And so when we broke down and visualized all of the activities that he did and how much time he spent with them, we were able to show that if he had a counter staff, he could be doing, you know, having clients in parallel. So as one was working with the counter staff, he could have them back in the piercing room and then kind of switching. So that meant that within that 25 minute period of time, he could actually have two clients come through versus one. And so it actually probably made his days go faster, but he ended up cutting down on the amount of time he was having to spend at the shop himself. And the overall cost, if you know, you look at what his cost is, whether he was paying himself that or not, versus what a counter person was being paid, it really worked out to be financially a more viable option for him. So that was one of the starting points that we had.
When you were saying that, I could see Karen's head going up and down. I'm thinking probably the same thing in a dentist office, right? That
yes.
It's not just the flow of one person. You want to be looking at a flow of multiple customers.
Yes, and as well, the different skills and time spent by different people. So Dr. Michelle is the head of the practice, but she has a number of associates as well who do different things. And really, the work that we did was to free up her time to do a lot of the visioning and to do the new patient diagnosis, because people were coming to her for the new patient diagnosis and to make sure that the treatment planning was being carried out, but she didn't necessarily need to do all of the work herself. Right. So we spent a variety of a lot of our time figuring out who should be doing what and creating the structure and actually the work standards, including checklists and the PDCA process on a daily basis, mm-hmm. for who should be doing what, when that exactly should be happening, and what's the check process on a daily basis. So interestingly, and I think this happens in a lot of dental offices, dentists huddle. They started their morning by huddling all together, looking at what patients are coming, where are the gaps in the schedule, how can we fill in the schedule, right? And then they go to work. And so one of the things that was easy to help people with is to look at exactly what work is going to happen and who's going to do the work and how can we make sure the right person is doing the work for the right amount of time so that everything can flow. Because it's really all about flow. It doesn't matter whether you're working in the dental office or the piercing. We want customers to get what they value and flow through the system.
Right. And it's, you really can't do lean without really focusing on people. And I know that that's obvious for us probably, but I don't know that people always think about it. Because one huge thing, and you know, Karen talked about that space for creativity or that space for visioning or, you know, whatever the case is. It's, you know, having people doing the skills that they enjoy or the things that they enjoy, the things that they're either skilled at or wanting to build skills at, and then having that creative space, excuse me, regardless of what the person's role is, having some time for growth. So I think that's critical for us to be working on and thinking about as lean practitioners.
Absolutely. And to make sure that we understand in this kind of service environment that the customers we're serving, they're not things, right? Mm-hmm. They're people. People, when you go to the doctor, or you go to the dentist, you want to know that you have enough time to have your question answered,
right?
You don't want to just get your piece of paper and go on. You want to know that someone's going to care for you. Someone's going to follow up with you after. Michelle calls all of her patients in the evening. And if she didn't, you know, she didn't do the work their doctors do to check in with them. That's not just good practice, it's kind. It's the right thing to do. So how do we make sure the process we're creating doesn't just satisfy, okay, I flowed customers through the process as quickly as possible. How does it make sure that we really understand what value is from their point of view, that their health is taken care of, that their emotional health is taken care of as well?
Yeah, and it's funny because I noticed that growth in myself because when I first wrote out the time study and, you know, my own assessments from it, I looked at my own past definition of value and what is value added. And so when I looked at these, you know, step-by-step process activities, whatever, I wrote down that the only value added step was 30 seconds. And now I looked at that and I said, that's crazy because I know that the interaction that a person has, and it's same with a dentist or, you know, if you're in the doctor's office or whatever the case is, that pre-conversation with whoever's going to be working with you, so the piercer, the practitioner, whatever, and then the post, like, so here's how I'm going to prepare you. Here's how we're going to work together. You know, that is a value-added conversation. And it varies for everyone how much they need of that and how much they want of that. And then following it to say, okay, so this is what happened. This is what you can expect next. This is how you might feel. And having that, you know, it's kind of like a, a bell curve of the experience, but then there's the things around it that are really important. And so putting that classic definition of value added to a human experience, for me, I had taken a bit of a turn with that. So,
you know, it reminds me very much of time a while ago when I had to have some surgery. And I remember coming back from my pre-surgery appointment with the surgeon just raving about how wonderful he was. And of course, I hadn't had the surgery yet, so I didn't know whether he was actually any good as a surgeon. But he had taken time to really explain the surgery to me and make sure that all my questions were answered. Right. And that actually meant when I went in to have the surgery, I was completely comfortable and relaxed. With the fact that, you know, that he was going to be, you know, conducting the surgery on me, because I knew that he had taken the time to care about me as a person, and that made such a big difference. You don't see that very often in you know, medical or dental practitioners, or even I think, you know, if you go for a piercing or a tattoo or some other thing that's related to physical beauty, it may just be, you know, somebody's thinking about, you know, I'm just got to get it done.
Right.
The people side is always incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie, we haven't really gotten to how you and Rob moved through this situation you were in, where the initial customers that were surveyed said, we just want it cheap. And it sounds like Rob was not going to compromise on using materials that he didn't believe should be in people's bodies.
Right.
So how did that get resolved?
Yeah, so we did a number of things with how we set up the shop and how we worked through it. One of the things that I love when you're able to do it, was we did spaghetti diagrams. And so we looked at the movement throughout the shop beforehand and after when we were doing the remodel. And it was, he was previously set up so that you had to walk through the tattoo, one of the tattoo artist's rooms to get back to his room. So who knows what's going on in that room, but you have to walk through there and you're thinking, I'm going to get something great in my body and this is what I have to deal with. He also had to, his sterilization room was on the far end of the shop. So you actually had the front counter that he's walking past with a tray full of sharps that were just recently sterilized to go back to his room. And then again, he has to walk back the other direction when he's taking things that, you know, need to be cleaned. And just not a great perception. And it's also more of a safety hazard than I would have preferred.
Mm, yeah.
And so just, it's funny because just the concept of the efficiency of motion, it was a big change in how people perceived how everything was working. So when we set up the room, in the new way, we cut down on his steps or the distance by 52%. But the cool thing was that, so kind of like Michelle, became sort of her own like ambassador of continuous improvement. Rob was going through this transformation at the same time. And so I drew out the spaghetti diagram and I showed it to him, and I was at the front of the studio and I came back in the room and he'd already rearranged his room so that it was really all series of pivots. Like he wasn't really walking at all. He was just kind of, you know, reaching to the client and reaching to the, you know, to the sink, reaching to the, whatever the case is. And so just, it's almost like if you think of piercing as like a minor surgery, in dentistry, I view the same way, honestly. He had set up his table to be standard so that his tray to be standard. So that again, as he's working with the client, he knows exactly where he's reaching on his tray to get the devices he needs for the piercing. He can reach back to throw something into a dirty pile, whatever the case is. And so that just perception of like, you are polished and efficient and you are, you know what you're doing. It's not just about reducing waste. It is about how it's perceived by the end user. So he's really like has been mastering that. So.
And then that makes a difference to the customers then, that they come in there not looking for, I just want to stick something in me cheap, but this is high quality, mm-hmm. and I'm willing to pay for something that is really
right.
High quality.
Yep.
And Karen, I think with Michelle, she probably does a lot of education about in the course of her interaction with her patients. I wonder if the two of you could talk about so the education and how that gets worked in with the flow.
Absolutely. And it's been something that Michelle and her care coordinators have worked on a lot too. And the best thing is Michelle is like the best coaching person. So she never misses her 3 times a week coaching, and then she applies everything right away. So they do a lot of quick PDSA. So in the education, they really want, they've spoken to their customers, they know what their customers want to know. So they are constantly actually working to make things easier for their customers. They do videos now that customers can see. They have written documents for customers. They noted when they were, you know, different supplements, customers didn't remember what they were supposed to do because they'd come out of, and they actually do major surgeries. So they had written things, and they want to make sure that everybody understands exactly what's going to happen, Bella, like you said before, right? Mm-hmm. And then they come and they understand exactly what's going to happen. So they are constantly doing PDSA. So I know they have the most incredible work standards, but those work standards aren't SOPs. They aren't just staying constant about what is supposed to happen. They're constantly being updated, revised, and changed as they learn more about how to better educate their customers.
And Stephanie, so with Rob and the piercing studio, what kind of education does he do for his customers?
So there's education all along. So when they're first making their choices on jewelry selection, there's a great deal of education there. Not every piece of jewelry fits the anatomy for every single person. Everyone's body is different. So there's education around what will and will not work. They even talk about it more from an artistic standpoint. So they'll talk about coloring, you know, things of that nature. And then in the actual piercing room, they'll talk about, you know, the aftercare that they are going to be needing to do, what signs to look for, if there's any kinds of problems, and when to contact them. And I think that this was probably the hardest part for Rob to standardize, you know. So he had done this for the last 20 years and he was his own guy, right? So it's just like everything that he had communicated with anybody who walked in the door was just second nature. And it obviously everybody knows how to do this. Well, then he ended up with a counter staff, and then he has two other piercers now. And that was something that, like, I finally just listened to everything he said and wrote it out in like a process map. We wrote it out as a set of standards. And so we had talking points for each point throughout the process. And then it allowed him to react to them following the dialogue. And so as we learn different people's styles, we've been adapting it to how they work with people. So certain ones in the shop, you know, don't really talk that way, or, you know, it's not really a natural way for them to work. And so we have, like Karen said, it's not like a set in stone way mm-hmm. to do it, but it's something that's kind of starting for how they can talk through it. So,
and there are probably certain points that they really need to cover, like,
for sure,
with the aftercare.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
This is a really interesting conversation. I'd like to switch just a little bit with both of you. And I would just like you to think about, if you were to be giving advice to somebody who was going to start using lean thinking in, you know, any organization that was not sort of the typical lean organization, what would you tell them about how to get started?
I would tell them the very first thing is to be very clear on what your purpose is, right? Because unless you're clear yourself as the business owner or organization owner on why you want people to have your service, then it's going to be very hard to create what can be more effective, what can be more efficient, because we always have to think about what that value is to customers. So the very first thing is to, you know, in working with Michelle also, I'm like, okay, well, what is actually the purpose that you're doing this? She wants people to be well. That is just simply it. Their whole, not just their teeth well, all of them to be well. And she wants more people to be well. So in understanding that, it really allowed us the freedom to use lean, not just to remove waste, but actually to create better ways for her to do that. And not just, as I said, not just in her dental practice, but in living well with Dr. Michelle and in Total Care Dental Academy to teach other practitioners as well. Purpose first.
Thanks. That's great. Stephanie?
So one thing I would say, start with understanding the problem when you work with people. I think when you push lean for the sake of pushing lean, it kind of violates the principles of lean, which is a pull. So I'd say really get to know people and know what the problems are that they're facing and work to try to help them solve those problems first and foremost. And just in terms of learning, so yourself learning about Lean, Six Sigma, continuous improvement, there are so many resources out there, books, there's now, you know, so many webinars and podcasts, and reach out to people who you view as experts directly and ask them questions. No one is off limits, especially in Lean, no one is off limits. And then I would say, remember that the most significant resource that you're working with is the human one. And just as much time, if not more, that you're spending on reading about the tools and learning about the tools, learn about people, learn about how people are motivated, what works for them, what struggles they have, and not just people in general, but also the people that you're interacting with day in and day out. And if you find that you struggle with this, this is not your forte of maybe the psychology or how people work, look for partners. I had several positions where I would immediately kind of partner with human resources, and we would talk through some techniques to work through some barriers that we were having. Because like I said before, lean is not, it's not tools and the approaches, it's also the people. So really spend as much time focusing there.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Karen Ross, Stephanie Hill, this has been completely fascinating to me. And I look forward actually to hearing more about both of these organizations and how they progress. And I'll just give you a moment, each of you, just to give out the websites of the two organizations in case people want to look them up. So Stephanie?
Yep. So you can go to Lightbulb Moment Consulting at www.lbmoment.com. And then if you wanted to go to Prism, I'm actually looking, let me look it up for sure. I think it was prism.com. Nope, that's wrong. Oh gosh. Go to Karen first. I'll tell you what it is in just a second.
All right. So Total Care Dental. The fabulous Dr. Michelle Jorgensen is at www.totalcaredental.com, and she is located in American Fork, Utah, but of course she serves others through video consultation. So as part of her purpose to help more people be well, you can speak with Michelle anytime on video. She's a fabulous person. And if you're interested in learning more about Karen Ross Consulting, karenrossconsulting.com, K-A-R-Y-N. And the really important thing is not to say, you know, lean can't work here. We're too different. The truth is, of course, we all think we're too different. All organizations are made up of people. All people can learn and grow, and we can work in more effective, efficient ways and serve others. So I think every organization can benefit from thinking about what's their purpose and how they can better serve other people.
Thanks, Karen. And Stephanie.
All right, let me try again. So Prism Body Piercing, so that's where Rob Hill is. It's www.prismpiercing.com, and Prism is spelled P-R-Y-S-M. So you can look them up there.
And that's Des Moines, Iowa.
Correct, yep.
Okay. All right, well, thank you both, Stephanie Hill and Karen Ross, for joining me on another journey to the edges of lean. And it's kind of not surprising that every time we journey to the edges of lean, we always come back to the center, which is about people. We all, I think, believe that people are really what it's all about. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Bella. Thanks, Karen.
You are so welcome, both of you. Thank you.
This is Bella Engelbach, and I'd like to thank Stephanie Hill and Karen Ross for being my guests on The Edges of Lean. When you go to the dentist next time, or to get a piercing, or even a tattoo, what lean tip will you share with the people you are trusting your body to? Please join me in exploring more of The Edges of Lean. There's a lot to learn. The Edges of Lean is written and produced by Bella Engelbach. This is a Lean for Humans production.